Have you ever wondered about the way that your mind, your brain, and your thoughts happen? Have you ever wondered why sometimes things seem a little bit out of sync, where sometimes your body, your mind, and your heart don't seem to be collaborating or working in unison? Well, the person who's joining me today on the Neil Wilkins podcast is Liam Naden. Now, Liam has a very, very interesting phrase that I'm sure we're going to explore, which is let yourself off the hook. Because Liam believes that true success only happens when you do so. So we are going to go and explore why and how we can get over what many people are finding right now is a struggle. They're fearful. They're kind of perceiving the world as chaotic and yet still trying to make a good go of it. So we are going to explore what happens when you do let yourself off the hook. So welcome to the show, Liam.
Hello, Neil. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, this is something that for me is an absolutely fascinating topic. And when you reached out and said, look, should we have this conversation? I just grasped it with both hands, because to me, there's some really kind of fundamental sort of unwritten things here. And, you know, I know one of the phrases that you often talk about is that there are secrets of the brain that we've never been taught. And I love that phrase, because I want to uncover these things. I want to explore these things, because why haven't we been taught this stuff?
Well, exactly right. In fact, you know, what I've discovered, I mean, I literally spent decades studying, if you like, the laws of success and trying to figure out how I could be the best person that I could be, how I could have an exciting life, how I could be rich, how I could be, you know, have freedom. And so I spent most of my life being an entrepreneur, being a businessman, and studying all of these ideas about success along the way and getting to a point where I had a lot of outward success, but I never really felt that successful. So I thought there was something missing. It always, in fact, felt like there was something missing. And I tried to plug that gap, if you like, by always setting bigger goals and thinking, when I achieve higher goals, I'll feel better and it'll, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I've always got to be pushing harder and growing and having more and doing more. So my life was this continual push, push, push. As most of us as entrepreneurs, I'm sure, can relate to this, or business people, we're constantly looking for that final piece of the puzzle where we feel we really are in control of our life. Things are going really well. We're being the best that we can be, and we're reaching all of our goals easily. But what I found was, and what I find most people find, is we never really do get there. And we start to accept that life is about this struggle, that it's constantly about trying to achieve more and pushing harder and harder. So I thought, you know, well, this is the way life is. This is what the price of success is. It's stress, it's problems, it's overcoming challenges. It's always setting new goals. It's never actually about feeling really successful. It's always something that's just beyond your reach, if you like. So I carried on like this, and that's what I thought success looked like, until something happened in my mid-40s, which should never have happened, because it was never on a goals list, it was never a plan, and it was never part of the success mindset. And that was, I lost everything. I went from being a millionaire to literally losing everything overnight, becoming homeless, having to move in and sleep on my elderly mother's sofa in her living room in her small apartment. And I realized at that point there was something I'd been missing, that all of the study that I'd done and all the seminars I'd gone to, the workshops, the books I'd read, the endless books I'd read, the courses I'd done on business, marketing, but also personal development, goal setting, spirituality, success, peak performance, all of these things, they weren't of any help to me. They certainly hadn't stopped me getting to where I was, which is losing everything. And the other thing was, when I was in that situation, they weren't really of much help to get out of it. Because here I was, I really didn't know what to do. And I didn't know, even though I had all this information in my head about how to be successful, I thought, this is all falling apart. This shouldn't have happened. Nothing's working. I don't know what to do. So it was only when I started to change my approach, and that forced me to change my approach, because it forced me to realize that none of that stuff actually worked for me, just being really honest. And the interesting thing was when I started to go down a new track and do some research and study into a different way to handle the whole area of how to achieve success, I realized that for nearly everybody that I ever spoke to or knew of or knew, they weren't getting the good results either. You know, they were busy setting goals and hardly ever achieving them. They were trying to be happy and successful and having lots of stress and problems in their life. So I knew that somehow, being really honest, that approach wasn't working. There had to be a different approach. And what that led me was to start to go back to basics and say, what have I been missing? And the one thing I'd been missing was the most important thing of all that we forget, and that is we are biological, physical beings, and we live in a physical world that's governed by rules, by laws. And it doesn't matter what you think or how hard you try or how motivated you are, you cannot violate those laws. One is, for the obvious one, the law of gravity. It doesn't matter how much you pray, how much you believe, how much you work on your mindset, how many books you read on you can achieve anything, how much you reprogram your subconscious beliefs. You know, when you walk out a 10-story building, you might want to fly up in the air, but you're going to fall down. Nature is going to, you know, that rule of gravity overrides everything. And we've forgotten all of this. And I think what most people are trying to do, and what I used to try and do, was fight against nature, not go with the flow of the way things and allow things to unfold in a natural way, but always trying to be pushing and forcing things to happen, setting a goal and forcing myself to try and achieve it. So I'd overlooked this whole natural thing about how we're governed by laws. And what I discovered was there is actually a biological law that surrounds success, that surrounds how every physical or living organism functions to be successful. Because here's the thing, if you ask any biologist or biological scientist, what's the purpose of life? What's the overriding thing that all life is wired to do? And they would tell you, they unanimously would tell you, all life has one purpose, the main purpose, which is to survive. And we're the same. We are wired biologically above all else to survive. And what we have in our arsenal or the means of doing that is a brain. And the brain is a machine which has a sole purpose of making sure that you survive, but not just making sure you survive on a basic level. Its job is to make you the best that you can be so that you have the greatest chance for survival and that you live the longest. So your brain is literally a biological machine that's constantly striving to make sure you have the best life possible so you have the greatest chance for living the longest. And that means being your healthiest that you can be. And it also means mentally and emotionally being your best. In other words, it means to be happy. So it really struck me, and the more I researched this and I pulled a lot of things together, I realized this is what I'd been missing. I'd forgotten what this thing that we have called a brain, what it actually is designed to do, or I'd never been taught what it's designed to do, which is to work for you, to bring you everything that you need in your life to make sure you live the best life possible.
There's something in there I just want to unpick before we kind of go a little bit deeper into some of the, okay, so what can you do with that knowledge? Was just this phrase that you used, which was outward success. Now, to me, when you said that, I thought, aha, now I feel I have a way of kind of describing this kind of innate feeling that you're talking about here, which is when you feel good, you know it's good, you're thinking the right things and everything kind of feels in alignment. And that kind of feels a little bit, what we'll go here, inward success. But these trappings, let's call them that, of outward success, are all those things that kind of manifest for many people, like a big car, nice house, holidays, big watch on your arm, you know, that kind of thing. Is that what you're defining here as outward success? Those things that are actually, well, they're very tangible, but in many, many ways mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the really interesting thing is people often ask me, what's your definition of success? They say, Liam, what's your definition of success? And I say, well, I don't have a definition, but I can only give you the definition that all of science, all spiritual traditions, all religions, and as I say, every scientist tells you, is the definition of success. And that is simply being at your best, which means being healthy as you can be, and it means happy and fulfilled. That's what success is. And when you really, for a couple of reasons, one is biologically, you have the greatest chance for survival when you are at your best emotionally and physically. In other words, when you are your most successful. And the other thing is everything else that you think means success, in other words, the car, the house, the money, you don't want those things for what they are. You want them for how they're going to make you feel. In other words, are they going to make you happy? So every other definition of success is really pointing you towards what, or it's really what you think will bring you true success, which is feeling good. In fact, which is feeling good right now. And biology even has a word for this success. It's called homeostasis. Homeostasis means the perfect functioning of the organism. And there's a particular state that we're designed to live in, that all of nature lives in all of the time. We're the only exception because we've forgotten how to do this because we don't use our brain the right way. But every living thing is designed to live in the state of homeostasis, which is the perfect functioning of the organism, where everything is performing well. And you mentioned that state a little bit earlier when we have this feeling, not very often, unfortunately, for most of us, where we know things are going well, we're making the right decisions, we're seeing opportunities, we're coming up with great ideas, great decisions are being made, and the right people are showing up in our life. And in a business sense and in a personal sense, we often call this, we feel like we're in the flow, we're in the zone. And that is really the definition of true success, because that's when you feel, not only physically, but also mentally and emotionally, that everything about you is operating as well as it can. And that's our success state.
So does it make logical sense then that if we were to pare everything back to its absolute minimum, so not external success, actually almost kind of ignore that just for a moment, and really kind of almost lead a very minimalist kind of lifestyle where it is very, very simple, it is very kind of at one and at peace, and so there's very few stressors kind of in place, would that in itself then begin to allow, because I keep coming back to your phrase, let yourself off the hook, kind of almost begin to allow yourself the space and the time to feel internally successful? Because it feels if there's so much noise going on in everybody's worlds, like you say, you know, it's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to kind of lose that sense of direction and purpose. If we were to pare everything back to absolutely bare basics, bare minimum of everything, would that do it? Would that be the solution?
Well, it's a technique that points at the solution, if you like. But really, here's the thing, and I think this is the thing, again, I keep saying that I missed, that everybody misses. But what we need to realize is this brain that we all have, I mention it's a machine because it is a machine. In other words, it works in a particular way. And when it's used in that way, it gets a predictable result. And the result it's designed to get is to make sure that you're the best that you can be so that you have the best chance for survival. So it's like any machine, though, that if you know how to use it and if you use it the right way, you don't need to worry about what's going to happen. You just know it's going to do its job to make sure that you're the best that you can be. I mean, an example is a motor car. I mean, that's another machine, which is, you know, we know what it's designed to do. It's designed to do one thing, which is to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And it's going to do it reliably, predictably, enjoyably for you without any problems. And all you need to do is drive it the right way and enjoy the ride. And it's going to get you there. You're not pushing the car along to get it there. The car is doing the work. So when we understand that the brain is just like that, and it's a machine which if you use it in the right way, it's going to guide you. It's going to make sure that you do the right things. It's going to give you those aha moments, you know, that we often talk about, that we have these gut feelings about things. It's going to guide you. It's going to give you the right answers when you need them. It's going to bring the right people to you when you need them. All you need to do is use it in a particular way to allow that, allow your brain to actually do that. Because here's the other thing. If you're driving your motor car and you end up with problems in your drive as you're driving along, and the engine starts making funny noises or it splutters or you're hitting things on the road, what would you say to yourself? You'd say there's something wrong. The problems that I'm experiencing are a sign that there's something wrong. There's a sign that I'm not driving the car in the right way. So I need to do something different. Maybe I'm putting the wrong fuel in. Maybe I'm maybe I've got my foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time, because maybe I don't know how to drive this thing. That's what creates problems. And the strange thing is, logically, what I realized about your brain is when you use your brain the wrong way, that's when you end up with problems. Problems are simply a sign that you're using the machine the wrong way, because problems don't actually have any biological advantage or benefit to you in your life. They don't make you less stressed. They don't help you live longer. You know, we all know that stress shortens our life. So our brain is designed to make sure we don't have problems, to help us avoid problems, and to enter that state that you talk about where we can focus on just being ourselves, not having stress, not worrying about what's going on, and in fact, having a good life. And so it really is as simple as just, not necessarily easy because we've got to undo a whole lifetime's worth of wrong thinking, but it really is as simple as learning how to use this machine the right way and allowing it to do its job. And all of the things that you need in your life for you to be the best, they're going to show up.
I'm going to come on to the various techniques that you've discovered and that you teach and advocate in just a moment. But yeah, I'm particularly interested in this whole idea of, yeah, kind of reframing, rebalancing, unpicking some of this kind of unhelpful thinking, this unhelpful kind of brain work that maybe has been done in the past. So for some of us of a certain age, you know, we've clearly been doing this for a long, long time. So there's a lot of work, is there? Well, I guess this is a rhetorical question. Is there a lot of work to be done to unpick that? Or is it simply a case of, no, readjust, do it now, and everything's going to be fine?
Well, there's a short answer and a long answer. And the short answer is actually in the Bible. You know, I was brought up a Christian. One of the first places I looked for how to be successful was in the church. And I was told by my teachers and my parents, well, if you want to be successful, if you want something, just pray, ask God, and God will give it to you. So I was brought up in a religious environment. But when I started to study about how the brain works, I thought, I've heard a lot of this before, about how to use your brain. And a lot of it is actually in the Bible and in other religious and spiritual traditions as well. But the short answer to the question as to what we should do if we want to use our brain the right way to make sure that our life, to make sure our brain does its job of giving us the best life possible, is it tells us in the Bible what to do. We have to seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything else will be provided. So what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, we know, we're told where it is. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's in here. And the only way you can enter, so it is, the kingdom of heaven is the state of being your best, of feeling great, of feeling, you know, loving or whatever you want to call it, but in the state of homeostasis, where you are functioning as to being the best that you can be. And it says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, everything else shall be added to you, which is all the outside stuff, obviously. The kingdom of heaven is within you. How do you enter the kingdom of heaven? To enter the kingdom of heaven, in other words, to enable your brain to create the state for you, you have to be like little children. Only little children can enter the kingdom of heaven, it says in the Bible. And what does that mean? What do little children do? They don't worry about anything. They don't set goals. They don't struggle. They're not trying to figure stuff out all the time. They're not trying to make things happen. They're not getting stressed and worried and afraid. They're just living moment by moment. And what they're doing is they're using their brain the right way, because we've confused. I have a four-part brain model of how these physical, there are four parts of your brain and they all have a different function. But we've confused the part of our brain that we use that we think is designed to ensure our life is the way it is. And we're trying to use our thinking brain. We're trying to use the part of, we're trying to figure stuff out all the time. We're trying to come up with answers to problems. But here's the thing. How many times do you get the answer to a problem when you're not even thinking about it? Or how many times do you get this gut feeling? You know, you've been working on a problem and it's really stressing you out, and then you don't think about it for a while and suddenly this new idea comes to you. So where does that come from? It doesn't come from your thinking brain. It comes from a different part of your brain. And this is the part I call your creative brain, because this is where all your imagination, your creativity, your motivation, your instinct, your higher awareness, and also all your problem-solving ability comes from. And instead of saying what most people do, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do, I'm trying to figure all this out. Well, the reason you're confused and trying to figure it all out is that part of your brain that you've activated in that state is not your creative brain. It's not the part where all the answers actually are. So we need to get out of this thinking state, and we can talk about how this works, if you like, and how the four parts interact to make this happen on a biological level. We need to start allowing this creative part of our brain to do its job. And this part of the brain, you know, it's fascinating if you see how many high-performing or high-achieving people describe this state. So, for instance, you know, peak performance athletes, they talk about they reach this state of almost effortless performance where there's something takes over them and they're just performing it way above the best that they ever have. You know, musicians or artists or writers or people who create things, composers have often said, I don't know where the music came from. It just came to me and I just heard it and I wrote it down. Well, where does all this come from? Where do your new ideas come from? Where do your insights come from? Where do those gut feelings? And very often as business people and entrepreneurs, I know this, we do the wrong things, even when our gut feeling is telling us, you shouldn't be doing that, but you do it anyway, and you try and justify it and try and force it to happen, and it never works. But where do all these different things come from? They're coming from a different part of your brain, and that's the part of your brain that is designed to be in charge to make sure everything happens in your life for you to be the best that you can be, so that you have the greatest chance for survival.
Oh my goodness, we're unlocking some secrets here, aren't we? But they're not secrets. This is the beauty of it. They are things that should be so, so incredibly obvious. And yet we've all become so distracted by, you know, myriad of different things. And just the lovely clarity, Liam, with which you're kind of describing this, it just makes so much sense. I'm sure everybody listening or watching this is just thinking, oh yes, why do I keep getting in the way of myself? Because that's kind of what's happening here, isn't it? We kind of self-sabotage, not consciously, not negatively, but are we trying too hard? Maybe that's something that's kind of, you know, inhibiting all of this. So if we just get out of the way and then get an understanding of the four-part brain model, which you describe, then we've got hope, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think the basic problem is we've never been taught what our brain actually is. I'd never heard of what our real purpose is, how we're biologically designed to be successful. No one ever told me that. But the other thing we're never told is what our brain actually is and how incredibly powerful it is. If you read any books of people who've written about the brain, the last page, when they describe the brain, the last page is pretty well all the same. And they all say, you know, I've got to the end of writing this book and I can't believe how incredible the brain is. You know, it's just beyond description. It's far and away the most powerful computer that exists on the planet. You know, it has each brain that we possess has the computing power of 500 trillion computer microprocessors. And it's all there designed for one purpose, to make sure that you have the best life possible. Now, but we don't know this brain has that power and that it has that purpose either. So that's why we're trying to figure it out. We're not just saying, well, it's a bit like if you had a computer and you could just punch in a command, make my life the best life possible, hit enter. You'd do it, wouldn't you? If you believe that it was like this infinite computer that could do it. We've actually got that. We just don't know it's there. We don't know its power. We don't know that that's what it's there to do. And it will do it if all we do is let it do its job by using it the right way.
Let's go there. I think we've kind of sort of whetted everyone's appetite here and just kind of like dangled this carrot of there's an answer, there's a solution here. So Liam, take us through the four-part brain model, because it is a fascinating concept and I think it'll bring so much clarity to everybody listening.
For sure. And it's a model I've created really based on science. So this is backed up with all the scientific descriptions, if you like. But I've put it in a simple, easy to understand way so that people can actually get it and use it. There's a diagram on my website and a lot more information about it on my website. But in essence, there are four parts to your brain. And these are separate physical locations in your head that each have different functions. The first part is what I call your rational thinking brain. And we talked about this earlier, but this is the top of your head. This is your neocortex. So this part of your brain, what this is a database or a library, if you like, of every bit of information that you pick up throughout your life in every moment. So everything you experience through your senses and all of your thoughts, this gets taken in and stored in this part of your brain for future reference so that you can understand things, you can label things, you can communicate with other people with labels. So it helps you make sense of the world through labeling and identifying things. So that's the rational thinking brain. The second part of your brain, which is just below that, in several areas called the amygdala, the hippocampus, hypothalamus, this is your emotional feeling brain. And this is the part of the brain that, as it suggests, it's responsible for producing feelings, producing emotions. And it does that through releasing chemicals based on your environment. The third part of your brain, which is at the back of your head, it's what I call your survival brain. And this manages everything to do with your moment-by-moment survival without you obviously having to think about. So all of your bodily functions, you know, your heartbeat and your breathing and everything else, all of these are managed by the survival brain to make sure you physically stay alive. And there's one really important element or one tool that the survival brain has, and that's, which is all to do with your survival as well and nothing to do with your thinking, and that is a defense mechanism against any immediate threat or danger that, to your survival that might appear in your environment. So if something unexpected comes towards you, it activates or controls in this part of your brain. We sometimes call it the fight-flight mechanism. But we know this response, this reaction to danger. So millions of years ago when the human brain was formed, there were probably a lot of lions roaming about. So if a lion jumped out from behind a rock, the survival brain kicked into action with the fight-flight mechanism and you reacted. You jumped out of the way or you'd shout for help or you'd fight the lion or whatever you did. So this is all the survival brain. This is your everything you need to survive moment by moment, and including this weapon or this tool to fight off an immediate danger. So they're important, these three parts: your rational thinking brain, your emotional feeling brain, and your survival brain. But the fourth part of your brain, which science is only just starting to become to acknowledge, it actually exists as a separate part inside your head, but which religion and spirituality has talked about for centuries. Thousands of years. It's what I call your creative brain. And this is right in the very center of your head. And this is the part that I mentioned earlier. This is where your creativity, your imagination, your motivation comes from, your problem-solving ability, your intuition. It's where you get those aha moments. It's where you see opportunities. It's where you see things. Perhaps you're going along and you think you're really struggling, you suddenly see an opportunity. That's your creative brain at work. It's bringing you things. And this is a state also of high awareness, because when you're not using this creative brain part, which you're supposed to be using most of the time, we'll talk about that in a second. When you're not using that, your awareness is very limited and you don't see the way things are. But we all have this experience where when we're feeling good, we see the good side of life. We start to see reality of how amazing this world is that we live in. So this is all the creative brain. And here's the point. The way you're supposed to live is you're supposed to allow your creative brain to be operating all of the time. Because when you're feeling creative, imaginative, loving, coming up with the right answers, avoiding doing the wrong things, making the right decisions, feeling motivated to do the right things, and good people are showing up in your life and the right circumstances are showing up in your life, what's the word for that? That's you being the best that you can be. That's when you're going to be really happy. That's when you feel this inner fulfillment, this inner success that we're all looking for. It's that feeling. So That's the way we're supposed to live all the time to ensure that we have the greatest chance for survival. However, there's only one time we're not supposed to be living in that state, and that's when a lion jumps out from behind a rock or some immediate threat to our survival. And the brain does something very interesting to ensure that you survive and you fight off the danger in that moment. What it does, it sends a signal through the emotional brain, actually, and it activates that fight-flight mechanism. And it does it through the feeling of fear or stress, worry, or anxiety. So what's happening on a biological level, when you feel fear, stress, anxiety, worry, anger, your brain is sending a signal telling you that somehow there's a threat to your survival. There's something that's going to harm you or even kill you in your environment. Now, it might not be there. Of course, it's not there. There's no lions there, but that's what your brain is telling you. And in that moment, what it actually does is it activates the what's called the sympathetic nervous system, which activates a survival state, your fight-flight mechanism. You feel bad, and it shuts down your awareness and has you focusing on whatever dangers and problems might be in your world. But here's the thing. It shuts down your creative brain as well, because all of those resources that you need to live a great life, like imagination, creativity, appreciation, you don't need any of those things when a lion's about to eat you. And not only that, but all of the energy that part of your brain is using needs to be diverted or probably might need to be used to fight off the lion. So that part of your brain gets shut down. And that's the essential thing that I had completely overlooked, and most people overlook, is that when you feel fear, stress, worry, and anxiety, you're blocking off the part of your brain that can actually bring you everything that you need and get you to see the right things to do, the right goals to have, and to make your life the best it can be. And what are most people doing? They're feeling stressed, they're feeling worried, and they're watching the news and worried about what's going on. They're having these conversations with everybody about what's all their problems. They're worried about their business. They're worried about their life. And they're trying to figure it all out in this state. But this is a limited state that has no clue about how to solve your problems. It has no clue about what your goals should be. It has no clue about what's best for you, what's going to make you the best that you can be, which is probably something you've never thought of. And you're busy trying to, so when you're using this part of your brain, you're busy trying to figure it out. You're trying to work it out. You're saying, I need more information. I need to figure out what my goals are. And that's why you stay stuck. So the enemy, the real lesson, is you have to get rid of fear. Fear is a trigger which activates the wrong part of your brain, the reactive part, and it shuts down your creative brain, the part that's supposed to be in control. So you have to get into this to realize this is just a switch. This is just a mechanism. And people say to me, oh, it's all real for you, Liam, you know, but I've got all these problems. I can't stop worrying. I can't stop being afraid. You have to learn a way to do that. And that's what I teach, that to realize that fear is the enemy. And again, I thought, you know, I've heard this before. And I thought, I know there's a book that says not to be afraid quite a lot. In fact, the Bible says 365 times, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Those exact three words. Now, that isn't just an idea. It's not saying try not to be afraid and, you know, don't worry, everything will be all right. It's telling you as an instruction that when you are afraid, you are going to activate your survival brain. You're going to shut down your creative brain, and all of the good things that God wants for you, or whatever you'd like to, however you like to describe it, the best that you're here to experience, you're not going to be able to access those things. You're not going to be able to do the right things. So the trick is to, or the thing is to realize fear is the enemy. Anything that makes you feel bad is going to activate the wrong part of your brain. And it's totally possible to retrain your brain, both in what you do and the way you think, to minimize as much as you can fear to when you only need fear. You only need fear for one thing, and that's when a lion is attacking you. You know, when something is about to eat you or kill you, not when you get some so-called bad news or you read something on the news and something bad might happen, or none of those things. But we're using our brain in a way that we've tricked it to think there's lions everywhere when they aren't.
There's a beautiful clarity, Liam. This is just such a really, really valuable conversation. You know, I think what you're doing here is you're bringing this kind of this so incredibly obvious truth that everybody has absolutely missed. Well, not everybody, but the vast majority of us have absolutely missed. And it is because of all the things that you're saying, which are all these triggers that then, you know, give that fight or flight response, almost the permission to take control and to unbalance everything else. But I think all of us know when we're listening to you that absolutely what you say is right, because when we do, and all of us have, we all get those little moments where you just feel it. You just feel that moment and you think, oh, this is different. This is a little bit special. And it might not be because you're consciously meditating or taking time out in nature and all those, you know, wonderful things that we know can address, you know, really, really significant imbalance. But just it kind of tricks you that just for a minute, something cuts in and you think, oh, this feels nicer. So is what you're saying the almost giving ourselves the permission? I know there are a lot of other techniques that you talk about and that you use, and we'll direct people to the rest of your work in a while. But are you kind of advocating that people should really take time out to pause and to rebalance? Because it feels as though there is a real kind of retraining that needs to happen, because most of us have become so out of sync with this beautiful state that you're describing that we actually need to self-correct consciously until it becomes a subconscious habit. Is that kind of the best way of thinking about this?
Well, that's actually the word you mention is habit. We have to create a new habit. And I think habits come from an understanding. So, for instance, if you want to lose weight, you figure out what you need to eat and not eat that will make sure you lose weight. In other words, what you put in and don't put in. So, and you need to you develop a habit for that. Now, the day you start, maybe you're going to still fall into bad habits and eat the wrong stuff and not eat enough of the good stuff. But you know that with time, it's going to be difficult to start with because it's foreign to you. And there's part of your brain and body going, oh, I don't like this. This is horrible. But you know that's the way to do it. And gradually you're going to get better, and gradually you're going to get better results. So this new habit, which is really about managing your emotions, if you like, to eliminate as much as you can anything that makes you feel bad, that's a new habit. And it can start off with really simple things. Well, should I say just before that, when you understand this is the way it works, you realize that's the habit you have to develop. You know, sometimes another analogy I sometimes use is someone came along to you and said, I want you to drink this. And they give you a glass of something. And you say, okay, what's that? And they say, well, it's hydrochloric acid. And you say, pardon? Yeah, you please drink this. You say, I'm not going to drink that. They say, well, why wouldn't you drink it? Everybody else thinks it's a good idea to drink. Good idea to drink it. And in fact, if you don't drink it, everybody you know is never going to talk to you again. All of your family, all of your friends, they're going to disown you. And somebody's going to come in and take everything that you have, and you're going to end up on the street with nothing and nobody, alone and lonely. You sure you don't want to drink the hydrochloric acid now? And you would say, look, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter what price there is to pay. No price is high enough. It doesn't matter what the consequences or the justification that I should drink this hydrochloric acid. I know the second that I do, it's going to ruin my life. So it's the same with fear. When you understand this is how your brain works, what your brain's designed to do, how it's going to make your life amazing if you allow it, then you realize your only job, as it says in the Bible, is to eliminate fear. So you're going to be very conscious and mindful and start to think, get into this new habit. What is making me feel bad? And there are two things that make you feel bad. One is something that's going on the outside, and the other is something that's going on the inside. Now, and we actually have control over all of those things. The ones that are going on the inside are a little bit more tricky to deal with, and I teach how to do this in my coaching, because sometimes we get these thoughts and we don't know why we feel bad. We have silly ideas, if you like. But things on the outside are not that difficult to change, to get in this habit of eliminating fear. So you can turn off the news. You don't need to watch that. If you're in a conversation with somebody and it's not making you feel good, you can walk away. You don't, or change the subject. You don't need to be in that conversation. And it even gets to the point where if you're in a toxic relationship that makes you feel bad, you don't have to be in that relationship. If you've got a staff member, and I used to have this all the time, employing the wrong people, and the stress was terrible, But if you've got the wrong person in the wrong job, you have to get rid of them or let them go, or however, whatever the polite way of saying it is. If you've got a part of your business that's not working, if you're in a job that you don't like, anything that's causing you fear and stress, you've got to find a way to get rid of it. And people say, well, you can't do that. And I say, well, there's only one reason why you can't do it, and that's that you, why you wouldn't do it. And the only reason you wouldn't do it is if you didn't understand that your brain is going to bring you something far better. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to bring you the best of everything so that you're being the best that you can be. So your job, you've got to allow that part to do its job, and it will. So why wouldn't you get rid of all this other stuff that's not working? Mm. And I think that's really the key to it, is to get into this new habit of saying fear is the enemy. When I feel bad, the second I feel negative emotion, I've activated my sympathetic nervous system, I've activated my survival brain, and I've shut down my creative brain. That's what happens on a biological level. It's as simple as the law of gravity or driving a car.
I want to point people in the direction of all your work, Liam, because, you know, you have books, you've got courses, you've got coaching, you speak, you're prolific in this area. And you know, so consistent with all of the messages that you put out there. And it is something, as I mentioned to you, you know, before we started recording this particular episode, that I said, you know, the world just kind of needs this stuff right now. So I want to point people in your direction and see if we can get a little bit of a groundswell of people who are kind of getting out of the way of themselves. Where should they go? Where can we point them?
Well, the best place to go is just my website, liamnaden.com. And in fact, if people go there, they'll find I have a free webinar at the moment, which is really goes into more detail without getting too technical about how the brain works and how you really can start changing the habit. And the great thing is, when you do that, is you start to see different results and you start to see unexpected things happen in your life. This is what happened to me, and I couldn't figure out why were all these coincidences, or why was I getting these good ideas, these good opportunities? And why were things working so well that they weren't creating problems or stress for me in my life? That's how I got on to trying to figure this out. So in this webinar, I show you how to start using your brain so that you start to get some different results. And when you do, you go, you firstly say, wow, how did that happen? And you go, I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to understand how things work in this biological world that we're all governed by, how this success that is present all throughout nature, how it really all works. And the more you do that, the more you understand, the more you let go of the fear thing, and you see better and better results. And ultimately you turn around and it's a bit like saying, why did I ever do it the other way? Why did I ever think that was the way to do it? It's like, why did I ever think driving a car was about standing behind it and trying to push and put all that effort in? Why did I ever think like that? It was ridiculous. And it's the same when you start to develop this understanding of your brain and you say, why did I ever buy into all this negativity that's going on in the world? Why did I watch the news? Why did I talk to negative people? Why did I worry about all these things? It's fascinating.
It certainly is. Liam Naden, it's been an absolute pleasure talking about this really, really pertinent topic that is here for everybody. This isn't just for one or two of us to really listen and pay attention. I think this is for absolutely everybody. So, yeah, it's been a real honor kind of listening to you describe this in such, you know, clear ways, because the brain is complicated, but your work and your messages aren't. So thank you very much for translating all that complication for us. It's been a really, really, really good conversation.
Thanks so much for having me, Neil. It's been an honor to be on your show and to talk to you.